welcome back to the I'm Moving to Italy podcast. This is Nathan Heinrich, and I would like to welcome you back to Season 3, Episode 3. Well, I've got a lot of really exciting things I'm looking forward to sharing with you in today's episode. And I have to tell you, the Italian book that I've been reading has taken a very strange turn. And our main character, Maria, has made some life choices and gone down a path that I wouldn't really have expected. And so I'm actually going to be kind of glad when this book is over and I'm ready to share a new book. I was going to put a collection of all these books that I'm reading in Italian. I was going to put the English and the Italian version on a section of the website so that if I thought the book was really great, then you could read it as well. But it turns out that our main character, Maria, has become a prostitute. So now I think I'm beginning to understand the title of the book, which is called 11 Minutes, a little bit more. So anyway, we'll see what happens with this book. I'm going to read a section at the end of today's episode for you. And there's lots of really good stuff in this book. And the story is interesting, but it's not where I expected the story to go. So I don't know if I would have chosen the story if I had known things were going to go in this direction, but next week will be January 31st, and that will be, I will have that book finished by next week, and then it'll be time to start a new book. So I'm going to be out shopping for a new book this week. Hopefully you are enjoying the process of reading through a book with me. Let me know what your thoughts are. Maybe some of you have already read this book, but it'll be interesting to see how this story continues to progress. Well, I hope you had a wonderful week. We've got just 1 week left in this month. Again, I can't believe how fast this year is going by, but that's the way it goes. Well, one of the things that was very interesting this past week that I was reading about that I've always found very, very fascinating. Henley & Partners put out their annual report on global index of passports. And once again, Japan and Singapore are tied for the top place. So what it means when passports are ranked is it means as a holder of that passport, how many countries can you visit in the world without having to obtain a travel visa? In other words, the doors of that country are open to you and you can stay there without a visa for a set length of time, and I think it's different for each country. You know, every country has their rules on that, but to not have to get a visa when you travel to a country is very nice. People from Israel, when they want to travel to the United States, they still have to get a visa, for example, whereas Americans do not have to get a visa when they travel to Israel. So that's just an example of one relationship between countries that is not exactly equal. Now, I did hear that because the United States and Israel happen to be allies, that they are going to be changing that. And so that's going to be interesting to see how that progresses. But anyway, so I wanted to share with you, of course, where Italy and the United States and many of the other countries where we have listeners, I wanted to share with you where those countries ranked. Since the focus of this show is, of course, Italy, I wanted to let those of you who either have Italian citizenship already or those of you who want to get it in the future. I know it's something I'm certainly excited about having, is having that Italian passport in my hand and the ability to have access to all of Europe as well as Italy will be something really, really special. I was reading that as an Italian passport holder, which is part of the European Union, you can live and stay for as long as you want. You can buy property in other countries and you have certain rights. Now, of course, Great Britain has lost some of those rights because of Brexit. They are no longer part of the European Union. And so people from Great Britain, I know I've got some listeners that have shared with me, there have been some real struggles for people who have sold their homes up in England and Scotland and Ireland, and they have, now I think Ireland is actually still technically part of the European Union, so I think this is more England and Scotland and Wales, that major part of Great Britain, but they've sold their homes up there and moved down to retire in Italy, thinking that, okay, you know, we've got all these rights and we don't need to become residents of Italy because we have a passport that is honored. So anyway, it's all a very interesting situation, but let's get into the global rankings of passports, which is such an interesting topic. Okay, so tied for number one spot, again, as I said, are Japan and Singapore. They are allowed access to 192 countries globally. 192 countries, visa free. They can travel. Okay, so then tied, there's two countries tied for second place. And I found this to be interesting. With access to 190 countries around the world, are two countries tied for second place, and that is Germany and South Korea. So South Korea and Germany are both tied for second place. Then you have in third place, with access to 189 different countries around the world without having to obtain a visa, you have Finland, Italy, and Luxembourg tied for number third spot, as well as Spain. So Spain, Luxembourg, Italy, and Finland are in the third place. So three cheers for Italy. Interestingly enough, speaking of Luxembourg, just this past week, Luxembourg joined our family of listeners, and now we have listeners in Luxembourg. So welcome, Luxembourg, and congratulations for tying with us here in Italy for the third spot. The fourth ranking, which has access to 188 countries visa-free, and there are a number of countries where we have listeners. And so for fourth spot tie, you have Austria, Denmark, France, Netherlands, and Sweden. So tied for fifth place, you have two countries with access to 187 different countries worldwide without visa, and that is Ireland and Portugal. Then in sixth place, we have a number of countries, and that would be Belgium, New Zealand, Norway, Switzerland, the United Kingdom, and the United States. And they have access to 186 different countries around the world without having to obtain a visa. Then you have, in seventh place, you have Australia, Canada, Czech Republic, Greece, and Malta, and they are all able to access 185 different countries around the world without obtaining a visa. So tied for eighth place, you have two countries, and that would be Hungary and Poland. And then tied for ninth place, you have Lithuania and Slovakia. And then in 10th place, you have Estonia, Latvia, and Slovenia. So, in 10th place, you have access to 181 countries without a visa. So that is the global ranking for passports around the world. And the countries with access to the least amount of locations isn't actually a very surprising list. Unfortunately, I feel kind of bad for some of the people that live in some of these countries because I feel like they are victims of governments that are causing a lot of pain and anguish to their citizens. So the countries that are in 106th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th place, with access ranging between 34 countries to 26 countries without needing a visa, are Somalia, Yemen, Pakistan, Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan is the very, very bottom of the list. So that is the Henley & Partners Global Passport Ranking for 2022. So anyway, hopefully you found that fascinating, as I always do every year. So I've mentioned that I'm starting a new website and I'm going to be sharing articles on that website. It's going to be kind of a digital online magazine. I've got a group of writers that are going to be helping contribute to that. I'm very excited about this project. But one of the other things I've mentioned to you before that I'm going to be doing to help me really get to know this country better and also to improve my Italian comprehension and reading is I'm weekly spending time reading local Italian newspapers. And I really, really spend the majority of my time reading one particular newspaper, which is called La Repubblica, which is kind of one of the major and most trusted. It's kind of like the New York Times of Italy. So it's a really, really balanced and kind of fair approach to news. I don't want to share news with an opinion behind it. I want to just share local news. So what I'm doing, and I haven't really found the same way that I didn't really find a podcast that documented an American or really anybody moving from their home country to Italy and going through all the steps, and that's kind of how the podcast was born. I haven't found a really great resource that shares really, really accurate, brief, to the point Italian news translated directly out of Italian news sources into English. There are certainly, you know, the United States covers a little bit of news about Italy. The BBC covers a bit of news about Italy. You have Reuters. You have other, you know, larger news operations that are sharing what's happening in Italy. But what I'm going to be doing is something I think is a little bit different. I'm going to be literally dissecting the local newspapers. I'm going to be making notes about the stories. I'm going to be getting help with translation. And I'm going to be then transferring that into taking the top stories, the most interesting, the most relevant top stories that are happening in Italy each week. And I'm going to be uploading an article. I'm calling it Real News from Italy. So it's kind of almost like a little miniature weekly newspaper within this new website that I'm doing. So when you want to get information about what's happening in Italy, let's say that there was a natural disaster, or like right now, for example, we're going through the current president's term is coming to an end, and everybody really likes him and are wishing that he would, you know, have another 7-year term. I believe it's 7 years for presidents here, but he's kind of older and he's wanting to retire. And so he's not going to seek re-election. And so they're trying to figure out how they can transition the man who is currently Italy's prime minister. His last name is Draghi. They're trying to get him to become the president and have someone else fill the spot of the prime ministership. The prime minister really is the person who has much more control over government along with parliament here in Italy. And I'm learning about the Italian political establishment and political governance and how things work and how politics work here in Italy. So I'm really excited about sharing more of my knowledge as I really dig into these Italian newspapers each week, and I spend, you know, hours combing through the newspapers and then transferring that into English and writing brief articles for you about what I've learned, so you'll be able to stay up to date with exactly what's going on here in Italy. And I'm going to be sharing it from a perspective of someone who doesn't know what's happening. So I'm going to put explanations in about, you know, how, for example, you know, why is it that there's sort of a somewhat of a crisis right now, and why the Constitution doesn't allow the president to hold two different offices. Like, a president can't be both the prime minister and the president at the same time. And what does a president of Italy do? The role of the president of Italy is one that is almost more of just a representative. They don't really have a whole lot of power. But there are certain cases when they need to intervene and have a certain amount of influence over laws and regulations and things in Italy. So it's a brand new system that I'm learning all about. And we're going to talk about tourism. We're going to talk about politics. We're going to talk about all kinds of things, food, wine, and the economy, all different sorts of things. So thank you for letting me take a few minutes to share all of that with you. So one of the things that I think I mentioned last year, and we spent a lot of time last year during especially the winter and spring months in kind of a quarantined lockdown situation here in Italy. One of the TV shows, the local Italian TV shows that I was introduced to here during last year's lockdowns was a show called C'è Posta per Te. And it is on every Saturday night here in Italy. And C'è Posta per Te means there's mail for you. And anyway, it's this very, very Italian show where they send out basically a letter. There's a person who has a problem with another person. Let's say, for example, like on this past week's show, there was an older man who had been in love with this woman who he lived near for many years, and he was always too afraid to talk to her. And I think maybe she was married, but he loved her sort of from afar. And now he's like in his like early 80s or late 70s, it looked like. And he's got white hair and a cane. And he invited this woman who didn't even know he existed to come onto this show. And he wanted to profess his love for her. And it's this hilarious show where they do stuff like that, but they also, you know, like let's say a mother abandoned her children and the children had to be raised by the grandparents, or a husband cheated on his wife and he's begging her to come back. So he'll send her a letter from this show, C'è Posta per Te, and then they get invited, and there's this giant envelope that splits the studio in half. And so the people that are invited to the show are sitting on one side of this giant envelope, and then the people that brought them there, invited them there, are sitting on the other side. And then there's the host. Her name is Maria De Filippi, and Maria has a voice that, if you didn't know what she looked like, she's a very beautiful woman, but she has the voice of like a man. She has this very low, like Italian, like smoker's voice. And so she's this very interesting host. So she has a way, and the show is produced in such a way that it to really just stir up your emotions. So you find yourself laughing while you watch the show. You find yourself crying. Sometimes there's really, really heartwarming stories. It's not always people who have gone through trauma and they're trying to confront each other. Some of the stories on the show are really, really beautiful, and it's where they offer a gift. And so they always invite a celebrity to come. It's a local Italian celebrity, and the celebrity comes and they present one of the guests with a gift. So a beautiful story that we watched in this last week's episode with this man who was a biker. He was a bicyclist, and he was out riding his bike. I don't know if he was a mountain biker or if he was just biking on the street. Anyway, he had a horrible accident with his bike that left him paralyzed and in a wheelchair. And then he had his wife and his two daughters. You know, he wanted to thank his wife for how wonderful she had been to him. And he's sitting there crying in his wheelchair, and she's sitting on the other side of this giant envelope, and she's, you know, receiving all these gifts that are being offered, and it's just this, and there's music playing in the background, and it's just this very, very emotional show, and it's super Italian. And then there's like a couple moments in the show where, like, for example, one situation, you have these two young children, and they were kids in their teenage years, I think, and the father had left the family and gone and gotten engaged to this other much younger woman in her 20s, and so they were like confronting their father and this new fiance, and they were trying to get their father to come back into their life, and he had kind of abandoned them, and so there was a scene where the fiance and the father said that they needed to talk about it. So they went off stage behind, you know, and went backstage to have a discussion. And meanwhile, instead of cutting to an advertisement, they just, with no music playing, in total silence for probably almost four or five minutes, these two kids are sitting there on the stage And there's complete and utter silence, except for like some murmuring you can hear from the audience and the whisperings back and forth that this brother and sister are having with each other. And as I'm sitting there watching that, I'm thinking to myself, never in a million years would you see a moment like that on TV in the United States. They would never allow there to just be silence on TV like that, with no dialogue, no music, not cutting to, you know, an advertisement and coming back after, you know, they'd found a resolution. And so it's just one of these things. I'm always sharing with you the differences I notice about the Italian culture versus the American culture. And I have yet to find a difference that I don't find to be very charming and just interesting. And so that was just an observation I wanted to share with you that I found so interesting. Of course, in my surrounding sounds for this week's episode, I've got some wonderful sounds from that show. So I'll be able to share those with you. And of course, I've got the video. I held my camera up to the TV screen. I've got some really, for some reason, whenever I video my TV screen, everything turns kind of blue. But I have some moments that I captured from that show that I think you'll find kind of entertaining, because you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. You'll be able to see this show. And so I think I may have shared in the past, I may have shared this with you, but the show comes on and only runs for like, I think the show is on for the first half of the year, and then there's a break. And so it doesn't air for the whole second half of the year. So this is only the second season of this show that I have seen. And It's definitely Italian culture at its best. As I've shared with you, I'm trying my best to learn as much Italian as I can and to stretch myself and grow in new and different ways with my language. And so anyway, I definitely have found that watching Italian TV is helping. And plus, it's also great when the show that you're watching is interesting. And I think Italian TV is wonderful. I've watched some Italian nature programs. I've got some wonderful sounds I'm going to share with you from an Italian nature program that I watched this week. And it's beautifully filmed, and you see all the mountains, and the animals live up in the hills and the mountains of Italy. So anyway, it's been really interesting taking the time to watch Italian TV, which I haven't done for months. I just kind of ignored the TV. I don't really watch a lot of TV. So watching TV and searching for programs that I find interesting and allowing myself to take the break to do it and say, you know, you're doing this, you're enjoying it, but you're also learning from it, is been something enjoyable that I've sort of rediscovered over the past few weeks. So anyway, if you ever find yourself here in Italy and you have access to a TV with just the local, like five or six main local channels that they have, that are channels 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, those six channels are filled with just so much, from cooking shows to traveling to nature and game shows. There's just so many interesting things, and it's just done so differently. The Italians, they don't do things exactly the same way as the United States, and it's very endearing, and it makes you feel like you get to understand the culture of Italy a bit more when you watch. So anyway, this past week I hit the 1 year mark of using my Italian language app Duolingo. So I hit 365 straight days of studying Italian on this app. And I want to share my thoughts with you about language learning apps like this. What it has done is it has helped me understand how to read and write in Italian and spell. And it's helped me a bit with my pronunciation. But what I've noticed it doesn't help very much with, and really doesn't help at all with, is your conversational abilities in Italian. So I think that it's really important when you are setting out to learn a new language, it's really, really important to know how important practicing it is with someone who can speak that language, because even though I just went through a year and I had the expectation, I'll be honest with you, that after a year of using Duolingo every day faithfully, and sometimes using, you know, putting in, you know, an hour and a half of study time in just on the app, I expected myself to be like, okay, got it, done. And it's just not a magic bullet. So I want to share with you that, do I have regrets of using Duolingo and Rosetta Stone in the past and Pemsler? I've used all three of those programs. I have no regrets about them, but I just want you to know that it's important to have realistic expectations. And I'm really pushing myself to learn in different and new ways. Of course, I'm going to Italian language school. That's helping as well. And I'm pushing myself to speak more in public and speak more with Alessandro's family here. And I'm also working on reading, as I've shared with you, and you know, reading and watching TV. So I'm trying to use a whole variety of different ways to just sort of have Italian soak into my consciousness from multiple sources. And I think it's going to make a difference. And I'm noticing with each week that goes by, I'm noticing a slightly more comfortable place with Italian. It doesn't mean I'm fluent. I have a feeling it's going to be a while before I can say with confidence that I'm really fluent, but it's feeling better. So anyway, that's exciting, and I'm grateful for that. Okay, well, that brings us to the end of the episode, and I am going to read a short paragraph from Paulo Coelho's book, 11 Minutes, about Maria. Now, Maria has, since I last shared with you where we were in the story, Maria, of course, moved from Brazil to Geneva, Switzerland, and she was working in a nightclub as a dancer. And by dancer, I mean like a tasteful dancer, not a woman who takes her clothes off, but a woman who is dancing and sort of showing the cultural dances of Brazil. Well, she lost that job, and she is now finding herself in the position where she's not done it. She's chosen. It's not because she was forced to. She wasn't in a financial situation where she needed to. She just chose. She had the opportunity presented to her, and she chose to start working as a high-end escort at this particular club called the Coco Cabana. And so she is meeting different men, and one of the men from the club she has fallen in love with. He's a painter. And so there's kind of this, but they've never been together intimately. So when he's very wealthy, and he's about 29 years old, and she can't quite understand why he's asking her to spend time with her and paying her very high-priced rate per night just to sit and visit and talk to her. And so she's finding herself, she's kind of given up on love, but she's finding herself falling in love with him. And so anyway, that's where we find ourselves in the book. I'm not sure where the story is going to go from here, but I will let you know, because by next week, that will be the end of this book. And I will be at, you know, my one book per month will end next week. So I'll let you know how the book ends. But here was a paragraph that I found to be very interesting, and I liked it. So I'm going to read that to you. So again, pardon my poor pronunciation as I struggle through reading Italian to you. Fin dalla notte dei tempi, l'uomo aveva capito che la sofferenza se affrontana senza timore costituiva il passaporto verso la libertà. Nelle civiltà dell'Egitto, di Roma e della Persia esisteva già la nozione secondo la quale il sacrificio di un uomo per salvare il paese e suo mondo. Okay, now I'm going to play the English version of that passage from the audiobook. So, here we go.
Ever since the Dark Ages, man has understood that suffering, if confronted without fear, is his passport to freedom. Egypt, Rome, and Persia all share the notion that a man can save his country and his world by sacrificing himself.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that short reading from Paulo Coelho's 11 minuti, 11 minutes, which is my January book that I am reading through. And so I'm looking forward to going out and finding a new book this week and preparing that for my February book, which I will be reading in the next week or two. So that brings us to our surrounding sounds for this week's episode. So I've got some of the nature sounds from that nature show that I was watching this past week, which I absolutely love nature shows. If somebody said you can only watch one type of TV show for the rest of your life, I would easily be able to choose shows like Blue Planet, Green Planet, any of those wonderful nature shows. I find them to be the most entertaining and inspiring shows that you can watch. I find nature to be so incredible. And it's wonderful. And I have to say that these Italian nature shows, I'm extremely impressed by how beautifully they are filmed, edited, and the stories. This one particular story that I'm going to be sharing the sound of follows the life of a family of foxes and this mother fox who is raising her babies. And so you'll hear the sounds of these foxes as they grow up and go through their year. The next sound I have for you is the sound of this show, C'è posta per te, There Is Mail for You, and some of the funny moments from that show and the people, the guests who were brought on to the show and some of their reactions and some of the things that they said. And I also have the sound of a very foggy night recently. It was a really warm day and then the evening got cool and so the fog kind of came into the city, and I find fog to actually be I've always kind of loved fog. When I grew up in California, there would be really, really foggy parts of the winter. And I just always found the fog to be kind of mysterious and beautiful. And I've noticed that there's not fog everywhere. And I think it's kind of interesting that we have fog here. So I was walking over the bridge, which is called Madonna Bridge. It's very close to that pink house that I've told you about. And it's very close to the beautiful old cathedral that they are renovating right now. And so I stood on that foggy night on that Madonna Bridge, and the water flowing right beneath me, I took a video of that and captured some of the sound of the water flowing under that bridge. And so it was interesting because the fog kind of made everything else kind of silent in the city. And it was kind of late in the evening, but the fog kind of muffled the sound of everything else around, and all you could really hear was the water under the bridge. So I have that sound for you. The final sound I have for you is going into a local tabaccaria and purchasing a newspaper that I was going to go through and read and then share some of the news stories on my new website. Enjoy those sounds, and I will be back afterwards to say goodbye.
Il posto più conteso, perché il più caldo, si trova al centro. La femmina di volpe ci ripensa. Vivere lontano dalla famiglia non è semplice e in tanti hanno pagato questa scelta con la vita. Marca il territorio per rendere chiare le intenzioni pacifiche al resto del gruppo. È ottobre, Da ormai un mese la piccola si muove con disinvoltura in diverse direzioni. La falesia dell'Aquila, il crinale a 3000 metri e il circolo di Cembri. Quest'ultimo luogo è molto affollato.
Oggi mi trovo a Bologna e devo portare il tuo invito a Giada. Vado!
Bologna. Bologna.
Eccomi Maria, sono arrivato. Qui dovrei trovare Giada. La vado a cercare.
Ciao. Ciao.
Piacere.
Piacere è mio.
Io sono Andrea, questo è il posto per te. E stai cercando Giada, sei tu?
Sì.
Io ho un invito da parte della signora Maria Filippi.
Sì.
So che sei nata nel mese di giugno.
Sì.
Allora qui ho l'invito da parte della signora Maria. E noi prima di salutarci diciamo sempre una cosa. C'è posta?
Per te. Per favore, però non mi sentite solo per te.
No? Però no. Sì, no. Per me sì.
No, Damiano, no. Damiano, ti prego, Damiano.
Chiama la busta.
Sì. La conta.
Ho
posso parlare?
Sì, dimmi tutto.
Vabbè, la colpa, senti questa. La colpa è di mia mamma.
Lo volevo dire, ma l'hai detto tu, va bene così.
Ok.
Posso farlo parlare?
Sì, sì.
Prego, Andrea.
Amore.
Ciao.
Oggi vorrei dire davvero grazie. Un grazie immenso per tutto quello che fai.
Devi.
2 anni fa, quando mi sono fatto male, è davvero cambiato tutto. Tu però non sei cambiata. Sei davvero donna speciale, sono così contento di averti al mio fianco, amore, ti amo davvero tanto.
Anch'io.
Buongiorno. Posso vedere la rubrica? Ah. Grazie. Grazie mille. Buongiorno.
Hope you enjoyed those sounds from this week's episode. Thank you for coming back and sharing this time with me for another week. I really appreciate you being here. Thank you for taking the time to write a review for the podcast. I want to thank those of you who have recently written reviews and left your 5-star rating on the podcast. It makes such a huge difference. I'd also love to thank our sponsor for this week's episode, ExpressVPN. The wonderful service that allows me to make free phone calls to the United States while I'm here in Italy. It protects all of my online privacy and keeps me from being tracked by big tech companies. Also, I'm able to watch all of our streaming services that we are subscribed to in the United States while we're traveling anywhere. So anyway, go to imovingtoitaly.com. And on the homepage, there is a tab that says VPN we're proudly sponsored by ExpressVPN, and you can click on that. You can also go to the Nathan's Favorite Things page, and there's a whole sort of explanation. There's a link there, and you can sign up, and you get 3 months for free when you sign up for a very, very affordable 1-year plan. So check out ExpressVPN, and thank you to them for being a sponsor of our show. So thank you so much, my friends. I want to wish you a beautiful week, and I look forward to being back here with you next week with more exciting stories and information from Italy. So until then, wherever you are listening to the sound of my voice, I hope you are healthy and well. And until next week, take care. God bless. Ciao, ciao, ciao.